From UA Little Rock Public Radio, this is The Art Scene. I'm Daniel Breen. In 1937, a group of supporters decided Arkansas needed art. The region was growing, and as it continues to grow today, that need has only increased. Now, after 8 editions, the Arkansas Art Center is not renovating, it's reimagining. A $70 million new space is currently taking shape in Little Rock's MacArthur Park, and overseeing it all is a new executive director. Dr. Victoria Ramirez is our guest this week. She joined the Art Scene to talk about her own willingness to embrace change and her ideas for maintaining the Art Center's sustainability.
So I've actually worked in museums my entire career. I started off as an intern in a museum many years ago, and it was a career that I loved and enjoyed and have stuck with ever since. I've spent the last 20 years or so in Texas working in museums. I had the privilege of leading the Art Museum in El Paso and also the Texas State History Museum in Austin. And it was just a great experience to think about the future of museums, to think about what museums mean for a community and what they can mean for a community, and how museums can be relevant and innovative in the 21st century. I also spent many years working at the Museum of Fine Arts in Houston, and that was just a thrill. I was there when one of the big new additions opened in the early 2000s, and it's probably one of the highlights of my career, and certainly with the building of our new facility in MacArthur Park, I've been thinking about that time of my life when we were opening a new building in Houston. So in some ways, I've come full circle. I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it must be exciting to sort of come in. It's a huge change within your life itself, but it's also this huge change for this community that you're sort of, I guess, trying to adapt to.
True. I guess when you choose a career like museums, or many other careers where the jobs are far and few between, you have to be willing to relocate and you have to be willing to adapt to a new community. And I have to say, it's something I really enjoy. It gives me an opportunity to think about the role of the organization that I'm in with a fresh perspective, the role that organization plays in a community with a fresh perspective. Sometimes when you've been in a community a long time, it's hard to see things with fresh eyes. So I in some ways enjoy the move and enjoy sort of getting a lay of the land and trying to figure out, well, what role does this organization serve in this community?
Yeah, it seems because, you know, obviously you do have a particular set of skills when it comes to art and curating and having an eye for that and knack for that, but because you also ran the History Museum, it seems like you also have, I don't know if it's a unique skill set or if it's separate from that other skill set of just, like, managerial skills, I guess, of running a museum and also, I guess, being cognizant of the place it has in the community itself. I'm just wondering what you think about that. Like, what's the intersection between those two, or what do you see your job as day to day?
Yeah. When I made the decision to move to a history museum, I had been working at an art museum for decades. And first of all, I wanted the opportunity to direct a museum. It was something I hadn't done before, and I wanted to see if it was something I could do, and it was something I enjoyed. And fortunately, it was. So that worked out well. But the other thing I was really interested in with the History Museum was this idea of interpretation. And how do you take something, whether it's a work of art or a document or an object from history, a piece of clothing, how do you take something and make it interesting and relevant to people? How do you get people excited about what they're seeing or inspired or curious about what they're seeing? And that's something that I've been interested in my entire career. So moving to a history museum gave me a chance to think about interpreting objects that weren't art objects. And that's something that I continually think about, and we're actually talking about quite a bit at the Art Center. When we open up, how do we present the Art Center collection, and how do we present exhibitions and programs in a way that expands our audience and gets more people excited about the possibilities of art? And I think we're at such an exciting time right now because there's so much research coming out that is confirming the benefits of art, that's confirming that going to museums, involving yourself in cultural organizations, socializing, learning about art, making art, involving yourself in performing arts, all of those things are good for you. It doesn't matter what age you are. It doesn't matter what your background is. They all have health benefits. And I'm really excited for the opening of the new Art Center, because what we're talking about is really presenting not only a new building, but a reimagined interior and experience that goes along with that.
Do you see that at the new space as being a part of that? It's sort of being a healthy space in and of itself, like a place people want to go. And then is that the strategy, I guess, for convincing people that art is good for you? Or it just seems to me that trying to convince the general public of anything, it seems to be a pretty hard task.
Yeah. It's a challenge for any organization across the country, and particularly arts organizations, to convince the general public that they are welcome and that they can visit and engage with us and have a good time. What we know, being in the arts community, is that it's attitude and perception that tends to be the barriers for a lot of people. They don't think that the arts art is for them. They don't think that involving themselves in an arts experience or going to an event or seeing an exhibition is something they would enjoy. And what we are going to challenge the community to do is give it a try. If you don't like it, you don't like it. What we've also seen is that a lot of people surprise themselves and they see something that they like. Or they also start to see that the arts perhaps is a lot broader than they had anticipated. And certainly as we're reimagining the new Art Center, we're thinking about programming in a much broader way. So we're thinking about film and live music and dance and performance alongside contemporary art and art making and all of the staples that we've been offering. But it's our real hope that more and more people will see the Art Center as a place for them. One of the things I'm really proud of about the Art Center, and I will say that we're committed to continuing to do, is that we are free. And I think that nobody wants to see cost be a barrier to somebody's participation. And so we are really committed to continue to offer not only free admission, but to try and keep all of our programming as low cost as we can. Certainly we want to bring in big names to Little Rock. We want to bring in exciting and special performers and artists and experiences to Little Rock, and those cost, and we may need to charge a nominal fee, but I hope people will see the value in that. But certainly for those who feel that art's not for them, they can give it a try, and it's free. So perhaps it's a win-win in that way.
What was your first experience, I guess? When did you have an experience, I guess, in a museum or just seeing art that made it click for you that this is what I like?
Let's see. I guess for me it was probably growing up. I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, and my art museum was the Cleveland Museum of Art. And for me, I just thought it was the most special place I had ever been to. The building was beautiful. I walked in and I felt like I was in a palace. I always felt as though I was comfortable there and welcomed there. And I was inspired by the art that I saw. I'm really lucky because I grew up with my hometown museum having a collection of what we call an encyclopedic collection. It had art from all over the world. And, you know, being a young person, I never had a chance to travel to Egypt or China or Europe or any far-flung places. But when I went to the art museum, I felt like I did. And I always joke with my friends that sometimes I can answer the most obscure Jeopardy questions, mostly because of my understanding of geography and the world, not through personal travels, but just through understanding art. And it's those early experiences that really just piqued my curiosity about what's going on in the world and what happened in the world hundreds of years ago. And why do we do things the way that we do? And how did history inform that? And that I think that kind of stuck with me. Well, I know it did.
Sure.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
So there's obviously the aesthetic components of the art, and then there's the history behind it. I guess, what do you see in that? What do you like in those two?
My background is art history. People ask me all the time if I make art or what medium I work in, and I am not an artist, but I did study art history. I initially thought I was going to be a curator, but I was one of those students that with every class that I took, I became interested in another area of art history. So I really do consider myself more of a generalist than somebody who has a particular specialty. But for me, it was always the history of art. And the history of art through the lens of the artist, through the lens of the people who were living with that art, and you know, through the lens of the people who in some ways used that art as a tool for power or you know, there's certainly art that's utilitarian. And so that to me was always the interest, not making art. Although I do find myself interested in how art is made and the tools that are used to make it. But unfortunately, I am no artist.
You must have to also learn all of that, like what makes a good composition, why is that brushstroke there, you know, what are the different periods and things like that. Were you saying that, I guess, if you were to be a curator, would you have had to focus in on a specific period?
Typically, yes. Typically, curators have to have an area of specialty. We have two curators at the Art Center, for example. One has a background in craft, and the other has a background in drawing and works on paper. And that's terrific for us because those are two strengths of our collection. But when you do study art history, you do have to understand the aesthetics. You have to understand the formal nature that makes a work of art. And it's also very interesting because in studying art and in looking at a lot of art, you get to the point where you really can identify what makes a work of art exceptional, i.e. museum quality, and then what makes a work of art that might still be one that's in process, and it could be a intellectual process that the artist is still reconciling. But aesthetics and, you know, line, shape, color, the formal components of art still become a part of art history.
This is The Art Scene from UA Little Rock Public Radio. I'm Daniel Breen. We're speaking with Dr. Victoria Ramirez, Executive Director of the Arkansas Arts Center, about the museum's $70 million transformation.
So you describe yourself as sort of a generalist. Do you have any particular periods or artists in particular that you're particularly fond of?
You know, I am so all over the place. I love contemporary art because I think it's such a terrific way for people to understand the role that art can play in a society. You know, art is something that speaks to the concerns, the tenor, the challenges, the what's on society's mind. And provides a very specific perspective on that topic. And for me, contemporary art, because it deals with oftentimes contemporary issues, is a great way to introduce people to art. And then from there, when they see art that's perhaps historic or older and they think, well, this has nothing to do with me, you can remind them, well, at one point this was historic. I happen to love 17th century Dutch painting. It's a fascinating time in history. And you look at these paintings of still lifes, for example, you know, flowers and food and all these sorts of objects sort of arranged on a table. And it doesn't look like it's saying much. But once you understand the history of that moment and you put yourself in the position of living during that time and at that place, you realize this was contemporary at one point. And this is saying an awful lot about the wealth and power of this region. And so I guess my tastes tend to be pretty eclectic. I spent my first museum job, I was working at the Asian Art Museum at the Smithsonian. And I thought for a time I wanted to be a curator of Chinese art.
You are coming from Texas, so you're not, I guess, a complete stranger to the region. I mean, Texas does kind of feel like its own country sometimes, but maybe that's a good thing for the Arkansas Art Center because it is, you know, there isn't one specific period or one specific type of art that it focuses on. Its collection, like your taste, is pretty eclectic. I guess, where do you see the opportunities to sort of adapt to this new place and show off what your sense of the art of the place is?
Yeah. One thing about the Art Center that really struck me when I was interviewing is the caliber of the collection. We have a collection of nearly 14,000 works. As I said, we have strengths in craft and we have strengths in works on paper, drawing specifically. And then we also have works beyond that, paintings, sculpture, from all over the world. And I think what that does is it provides opportunity to showcase a variety of different kinds of art. From different places and different time periods. And that's something that we've been talking about quite a bit at the Art Center. We're going to open in 2022, and when people walk in the galleries, well, what do we want them to see? And it's pretty impressive when you think, I'll say for example, we can only put out 300 works of art. Well, when we list our favorites, there's four times as many than we would want on there, and that list could easily grow. So I guess that's my long way of saying that we will be able to feature the permanent collection in ways that the public hasn't seen before. I think even people who are very familiar with our permanent collection will see it in new ways. The galleries will be fresh and state-of-the-art. There'll be a new lighting system. There'll be new walls and windows, and the entire configuration is completely different. But what we'll also be able to do is mix up the collection in different ways and keep it fresh and interesting. Sure, we'll always have our favorites on view, but, you know, as you rotate works and as you show them in different configurations, you have a real chance to tell different stories, and we're really excited about that.
I guess in the this sort of period that the new space is under construction in MacArthur Park, are there any ways for your parts of your collection to, I guess, still be out there for people to see, still remain fresh, I guess?
Yeah, actually there are. So we partnered with CALS, and we worked with 15 branches and brought works of art from our collection to those branches, and they're currently installed right now. They'll be up for at least another year, and it really gives us a good opportunity to not only bring the collection to light so people can actually see it, but bring it to the community. And we were really pleased working with CALS that these 15 branches were selected and were able to, you know, have the Art Center's collections in somebody's neighborhood. That's something that, you know, a lot of museums recognize, that sometimes coming to the facility can be a challenge. And so rather than have people come to us, we came to them. One of the really exciting things that we're doing with these installations is we are launching an app called Culture Connect, and it'll be coming out in the next 4 to 6 months. But what it is an opportunity for people to download an app. They'll get a chance to learn more about the works that are at that particular branch. In fact, they can see the works at all 15 branches. There will be video and additional photos and additional information, and just ways for people to better understand the works that are featured. So we're looking to probably launch that, like I said, in the next 4 to 6 months. In the meantime, we do have some programs going on at CALS, and we're really appreciative of not only CALS, but the library branches and the head librarians at those branches for welcoming us into their space and allowing us to do some of our programming for kids and families, and then some of our programming for seniors also. I should say, as much of a challenge as the Riverdale location has been, it's really been terrific for us in terms of our museum school and even our children's theater, where we have been able to install our studio classrooms and continue on with museum school classes for kids and adults. And then we've also been able to host a somewhat reduced but a schedule of children's theater performances, too. And so I just encourage people to visit the Arkansas Art Center website, and they can find out more about dates and times for all of that.
With the museum school and the children's theater, have you seen pretty much a good shift? Has it been like pretty much the same attendance for both of them?
Attendance-wise, we're doing okay. Our registration for the museum school has been on par with previous years. In fact, we're hearing from some people that they prefer the Riverdale location and the fresh spaces that we have for our studio classrooms. And then for children's theater, without having the large theater, it's been a little bit of a challenge, so we can't accommodate the numbers that we had before. But all of our performances have been well attended. We have a couple of pay what you can performances, and of course that's again our way to try and keep all of our programming open to the public. And we'll have more of those coming up too. I think we have a handful coming up spring break, so we're going to try and ramp up when kids and families are looking for things to do.
And I guess I would be remiss to ask about sort of the progress on the new space. How is that coming? What have you heard from architects, landscape architects, construction people, things like that.
You know, a project of this magnitude, I have to say, as much as you prepare yourself for it, I don't know if you can be prepared for it. We have dozens of staff members who spend dozens of hours a week working on this. And I can tell you that it just could not be going better. We are absolutely thrilled to be working with Studio Gang and Scape. Studio Gang, of course, out of Chicago, and Scape out of New York. They've presented inspired and gorgeous plans that I think will just exceed everybody's expectations. We've spent the last few months really first demolishing the building. It was hard to see, but there were certain parts of the building that were just no longer functioning the way that we needed them to. We had issues with heat and ventilation and the like, and so it was really time. But the demolition is complete. We've prepared the ground, and in the next couple of weeks, they should be laying the foundation. And then from there, of course, the walls will start to come up, and you can really start to see the new art center come to life. So we're really just, it could not be more excited about that. Alongside of building the building, there's a whole host of other projects that we're working on. We're working with food services consultants and audiovisual consultants and lighting consultants and a team of experts who are really making sure that the choices that we're making that will make the building function the way that we need it to are the optimum choices. We are looking to build a new website. We're looking to build new branding. And so truly, when we open in 2022, we will be presenting we keep saying reimagined, and I think it's such an appropriate word, but it'll be a reimagined space. We did not demolish the 1937 original facade. And if you drive by 9th Street, you can see it. Now, it's covered in plywood, and that's to protect it. But for us, that was such an important feature of the Art Center. It's part of our history. It's a beautiful facade. But, you know, I think what it showcases is the legacy of the Art Center, and that we are one of, if not the oldest, arts organization in the state, and for a long time we were the only arts visual art organization in the state, and so we're glad we have other friends in the state that are showcasing art the way that we are. But having that 1937 facade was really, I think, an important nod to not only the institution's legacy but everybody who built that. And when people come to the new art center, they will see all of the people who are involved in the campaign to build the new facility, but they'll also see the important figures throughout the last few decades who have helped to make the art center the place and the collection that it is today.
Was Dr. Victoria Ramirez, Executive Director of the Arkansas Arts Center. She's tasked with overseeing the center's transformation, which she hopes will make Little Rock an artistic destination for the Mid-South. That's our show for this week. Please join us next week at the same time. I'm Daniel Breen, and The Art Scene is a presentation of UA Little Rock Public Radio.
s'estompent.